Well, amen. What a blessing that is, and knowing that our Redeemer lives at every time, every junction in life, and no matter what you go through, that is always a comforting thought, that we serve a resurrected Savior. Acts chapter 1. On Wednesday nights, we've been going through and studying on the life of the Apostle Peter, and from his salvation, we've seen how Jesus has been discipling Peter, and for the last 3 years or so, he was discipling him. After the resurrection, then Jesus finished his discipleship of not only Peter, but the other 10 apostles, and he was teaching them some very important lessons there at the end, and we studied that in the book of John. And his last lesson before his ascension was actually a rebuke of Peter for asking about John's service to the Lord, if you remember that. And then after his rebuke of that, he admonished him to follow him, just to stay focused on what he could control and just follow him. And that was the last message we find there in John chapter 21. In verse 22, we made the statement, and I think it's something worth remembering and maybe writing down, but to serve Jesus well, we must not be distracted by others' success or failures. You can be distracted by thinking that I can't live up to certain people's successes, and you don't have to. You're not that person. And you can be distracted by not thinking or seeing somebody else's failures and letting that affect you and not wanting to fail in the ministry and serving Christ. And so we have to be careful there. But to serve Jesus well, we must not be distracted by others' successes or failures. I think we just need to stay focused on follow thou me. That's exactly what Jesus told the Apostle Peter. First, Acts in chapter 1, and we're going to be reading tonight, verse 15 down to verse 26, as we continue to follow the life of Peter, all right? That's what we're doing as we're going through, and all through the book of Acts, we'll find that Peter was one of the main characters in the book of Acts, probably second only to the Apostle Paul after he is introduced in chapter 9. But Peter's ministry during that apostolic age was very, very important. And so we're going to be studying a lot of the lessons from the life of Peter here in the book of Acts. But to start with tonight, Acts chapter 1, verse 15. If you will, go ahead and stand, and those that are able to do so. Acts chapter 1 and verse 15. The Bible says, "And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said," the number of the names together were about 120. "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. And falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Again, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity just to be a part of the service tonight. I pray for each one that's here and those that are viewing, Lord, that you would help them to just sense your presence. And I pray, God, that you would speak to each one of us as we have need to be spoken to, that you would empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, here we find Peter speaking out once again. Now we're in the book of Acts, and everything has taken place as far as Jesus had discipled him. Now we find Jesus ascended up into glory. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. And now we have here in the book of Acts all of the 11 apostles with other disciples that had been a part of the ministry while Jesus was here. And the thing that I want to look at tonight concerning Peter is that as per Peter's training by the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter takes the lead. Now that's important because Jesus had been preparing him for this. But who knows whether or not somebody is going to fulfill what they have been called to do and prepared to accomplish. But we find here in verse 15, as it focuses back on Peter, it says, in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Peter stood up. 120 or so were together along with these other 10 apostles, and I don't know the circumstances. They were there about 10 days after the resurrection, and whether or not they were looking to each other, thinking, all right, who's going to get us started? Who's going to take the lead? Are we going to vote? Are we going to, what are we going to do here? And the 11 apostles and another 120 of disciples possibly there, and they needed to be led. Leadership is always needed. I love Dr. Lee Robertson. He said this. He said, all things will rise and fall according to leadership. Leadership in the home. Leadership in the church. Leadership in the country. Leadership in the world. I think right now, as we experiencing what's taking place in society, especially in the United States, with all the different things taking place, leadership is very important. And some people are possibly, you know, all around suffering from their choice of poor leadership, which ought to, again, help us to see the importance of our votes and voting for leaders in the communities. Leadership is always needed. As Peter learned to follow Jesus, that was the message that Jesus continued from the beginning to the end with Peter, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Then all the way through to the end, and the last message is Peter stop thinking about what everybody else is doing and focus on me and follow thou me. What a powerful end, beginning and an end to the message to Peter. As Peter learned to follow Jesus, he was being trained to lead. We must learn to follow to be qualified to lead. If not, you're trying to establish a dictatorship. And that's never in the will of God. A dictatorship in the home is not the will of God. A dictatorship in the church is not the will of God. A dictatorship in society is not the will of God. But to have qualified leaders, to be a qualified leader, you have to learn to do what Jesus had trained Peter to do, follow. And then lead as you have been taught by that which you have been following. Amen. You see, God established an order for leadership. Now, we find it in several places throughout the scriptures, and even as God led, designed his church and put positions in the church so people could understand what the authority and what was to be led to follow. God Almighty is to be followed. So that which represents him is to be followed. That is the scriptures. The scriptures have to follow God. Okay? If they're the right scriptures, they're the words of God. And then the church is the design vehicle to be able to get the word of God out to the world. So the church has to follow the words of God, which are following God. And in order for the church to follow that, then we have to have positions that God established in the church of leadership. Now, again, we find, if you go with me to Romans in chapter 13, probably the most familiar passage of scripture on leadership and authority as far as that is to be followed. The Bible here is recorded, and Paul uses the words led by the Spirit of God, I think on purpose there, no doubt as powers. But you could look to the words powers there and replace that with authority, because authority has the power. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, or the higher authority. Now, we've already established the highest authority has got to be the Creator God. He created all things. And this is designed for people to be able to look to follow after, and then be what they need to be in their position of leadership. And so he goes on to say, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, this authority that God has established, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So there is a resistance to the authority of God, led by the number one power of resistance, and that's the devil. And then he has those that he is going to influence their mind and their thinking so that they will do his bidding. And many times they don't even realize that they are following after the ways of the devil because they're opposite the ways of God. And then they have their following, which then will lead others in that same direction and that same mentality. But what we need to make sure of is what we are following is of the highest authority, which is God. Every believer is to be a leader. If you're here on Sunday nights, we know that Jesus was establishing New Testament Christianity, the attitudes on the Sermon on the Mount. And then after the attitudes, the idea of the testimony. The testimony of every believer is by following the attitudes and the dispositions that he has given to us is the salt and the light. That means that we are to be salt, which is a leader, amen, and the light, which is to be seen. As we are following after Jesus Christ, we are here to now continue to follow him so that we might lead those that he brings to us to lead to Christ. To lead as being the salt, being able to share our savor with them, and to be able to share our light, which comes from God, with them. So understanding that as a born-again believer, you first of all want to follow after Christ and his leadership. But as you follow after Christ, you're going to be there amongst others when Christ is not there physically. But you're there, and because you're there, he is there, and you become a leader of those that do not know him. Amen. And you become the salt to them, and you become the light to them. So because of that, every born-again believer needs to look to themselves as a leader in the world, wherever you're at, in your home, in your place of employment, in your neighborhood, in the world that we live in. Christianity is to take the lead and try to influence instead of being influenced. Be the influence as salt and light. Yeah. So that gives me a time here that I need to ask the question, who are you following? What are you allowing to influence you? Sometimes it's an author that you don't even realize, but you're reading all that they write. And what you read, you're allowing to have an impact on your thinking. And if you're not careful in reading the right kind of things, you will end up allowing that person to lead you who is in a greater need of you leading them. Be careful who you allow to influence your thinking. You have to do that in the world that we live in. Because you have to make sure that you are following after God and His influence. So who are you following? And then with that, who are you leading? A believer ought to know who they're following. You ought to know the most important thing that you can do is follow as Peter learns this. He's learning this. That's what Jesus continued to teach Peter and to train Peter. Follow thou me. Every born-again believer needs to realize that we are to follow after God. And so we want to make sure that that which we are allowing to influence our thinking is that which is coming from God. If it's not something that's coming from God, do not allow it to affect your thinking. I know there's research and you got to understand the other side to fully understand what you're doing, but when you research, understand that. Do not allow yourself to be blinded by what you listen to or what you read, but you become the leader. And you become the leader by knowing that you're following after God. Jesus had prepared Peter to take the lead. I believe that all of us have been prepared to lead. Don't be afraid when the opportunity arises and the need is there to stand up and lead. You know, what's going on with all the uprising downtown and all across America, you know, and I agree that we live in a society with free speech. We don't want to take that away. But when there's those that are there that takes the lead to vandalize and takes the lead to do nothing but steal and rob and hurt people, then everyone there that's following that is in the wrong. Instead of following after that, we need people to stand up and take the lead. Instead of being led to do the wrong things with a right cause. But if you do a wrong thing, even if it's a right cause, you're in the wrong. Yeah. Don't be afraid. If you're there, if you're in a situation, God's prepared you by understanding what Christ would have you do, the stand that Christ would take in that position, the words that Jesus would present in that situation. If you're there, take the lead. Peter stood up. He'd been prepared, trained. And now he realized, looked at the other 10 apostles who had already been looking to him. He looked at the other 120 disciples that had been saved, who had been following Jesus, but now Jesus is no longer here physically. And Peter had the highest position to take the lead. Sometimes we have too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Amen? Because there's some that want to take a lead when they really are not led to take the lead because there's somebody else that has been prepared to take the lead. And we need to follow. In our military, we understand that you have ranks of military. A private, when he comes around a sergeant, will yield to the sergeant. But then a sergeant, when he comes around a lieutenant, will yield to the lieutenant. Even though he has been qualified to lead, but when there is a higher qualification to lead in the presence, and we need to encourage that which is has a higher place of training to take the lead. Encouraging one another to yield to that which has been trained to lead in positions of authority. As we look at our military, I believe that the church is the very same way. I have my staff, and praise the Lord for my staff, and they work very hard. But I know that they respect me enough that if I'm there, they're going to yield to my leadership. Many times, I don't attend the youth functions because I have a youth pastor that's overseeing the youth functions. If I show up, then he's going to yield to my leadership, and I'm not there to lead the youth. I have hired him to lead the youth. But that's leadership. You learn to follow. As you learn to follow, then you are prepared to lead as you have followed. And when you're the one there that has been trained to lead, then take the lead. Peter was there. He understood that he had been trained, and he stood up to take the lead. And we see here, go back with me to our text here tonight, because that was just the beginning of it. That's the introduction. Leadership. Hopefully you understand the importance of leadership, especially when it comes to Christianity, as God has prepared you to lead. If you're the only one there, then you're the one to take the lead. Verse 16 and 17. Peter addresses a very difficult but very important matter. Men and brethren, the scriptures needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas. Judas. Can I tell you, all 120 disciples that were there, and every one of the apostles were confused about Judas. Who's going to address the situation with Judas? The one that had been prepared to lead. If you've been prepared to lead, sometimes you have to address some very difficult situations. Some things need to be addressed, and some things do not. A leader has to look to God to know what needs to be addressed and what does not. Judas was one of those things that I don't think anybody was talking about because they was all still confused over. And yet they needed to know what happened with Judas. Because Jesus had chosen 12 apostles. And yet Judas was one of the 12 and was the one that, as he said here, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Every one of the other apostles, as well as all the disciples, were saying, surely that's not what happened. Surely Judas did not betray Jesus. He was one of his apostles. We looked to him. We had enough faith in him that we allowed him to handle the money. Surely we got that wrong. Surely he was not leading in the opposition that took Jesus to crucify him. And Peter brings it up. And he says, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. He was numbered with us, and for the last 3 years, he was a part of this ministry. And we called him brother. And we trusted him and put faith in him. And now Peter has to address it. Something that had to be addressed for them to move on, to go forward. It had to be addressed. Other things, no doubt, Peter decided under the leading of the Spirit of God, we don't need to address that, and we don't need to address that. Because if we address every little thing, then it takes away the importance of the major things. I trust you got that. This is something that my wife and I discussed, and I tried to help her the whole time we was raising kids. Choose your battles. Especially when they become teenagers. Especially when you're raising a crystal. I think by raising a Cherie, my wife thought that Crystal ought to be just like Cherie. And they were two opposites. And you can't expect one to be like the other because they're their own individuals. And as we raise children, we have to realize we have to choose our battles. We have to realize what is going to make a difference. And we are going to battle those things and we are going to address those things. But if everything's a major, you lessen the true majors. You have to realize there's minors and there's majors. And sometimes the minors, you just have to let it go. You have to maybe say something, but you're not going to major on the minors. That's leadership. That's provoking if you're not careful, because you're nitpicking everything that's going on with your children and you're provoking them to anger. That's partly on you, parent. Pick and choose your battles. Save your energy for those which matter most. Amen? You know, that's the same thing about church membership. There's always somebody that's going to be offensive to somebody else. You choose to be offended or not. I think as Christians, we ought to choose not to be offended. And let love cover a lot of different issues, a lot of different things. When you do, you save your energy for that which matters most. Judas was a situation that had to be addressed. Was everyone in agreement with what happened with Judas? Even if the 11 apostles were, I guarantee the 120 disciples were not. And the Bible makes sure that to know that there was more than just the apostles there. There were about 120 disciples. And I guarantee you, in that midst of 120 disciples, there's some people, some over there crying, saying, poor Judas. Poor Judas. Poor Judas. Really? A thief. Yeah. A sheep, a wolf in sheep's clothing. A liar. A deceiver. Ultimately sold out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Poor Judas. I'm baffled at times to see how good men can see things so differently. But they do. They do. People see things differently. And sometimes there's no convincing them that it's not that way. This is what's going on. This was an issue that had to be faced, it had to be dealt with before they could unite and go forward, because this was that elephant in the room, if you will. They were meeting together trying to find out who it is that's going to take the lead, and whoever took the lead would have to deal with Judas. And you had some over there on one side and some over there on the other side. Some are saying he got what he deserved. Others are saying, poor Judas. I don't believe that he did everything that they're saying that he did. And you'll see that Peter had to go into detail to help them to see what took place with Judas. Peter refers to scriptures. What a great way to handle things. Yeah. Why? It's the highest authority. It's the higher power. And you have learned to follow before you can be the leader that God wants you to be. You are to be a leader if you're a born-again believer, but you better make sure that you have been following so that you know how to lead. So Peter, men and brethren, I love that he brings them together. We're brethren. We might be seeing things a little bit different right now, but we're brethren. This scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas. Judas was a son of perdition. When they would understand the interpretation of the Old Testament, and even in the Psalms, they would see that there would be a son of perdition. Matter of fact, John chapter 17, Jesus had presented this to them before he ascended to heaven, before he went to the cross. If they would have listened, and he no doubt they would have went back and referred to what he had said. And John chapter 17 was his prayer of intercession for them. And in this prayer, he says this in verse 12, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled." Oh, I do remember him saying that. Yeah. So Peter took him to the scriptures. And then we find that Peter revealed that Judas was in sin. Now this man, Judas, purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. The reward of iniquity, reward of sin. Verse 25, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from Judas by transgression fell. Judas was living in iniquity, and because of the transgressions that he yielded to, he fell. He had this come to him because of his own sin. And Peter is helping everyone to understand the scriptures and what really took place so that they might unite and move forward. First of all, Judas was in sin, the sin of unbelief. He was following, saying that he was an apostle when he did not truly believe that Jesus was the Messiah. I believe he thought he was a good man. Believe he thought that he was possibly even something special, but it is proven that he did not believe him to be the Messiah. Judas failed to believe in Christ as the Messiah, and ultimately, in the end, became an antichrist. Because he was antichrist when he sold him for 30 pieces of silver. The second thing about Judas was that led to his sin was money. Money played a part. Satan had blinded Judas to the person of Jesus Christ and to money being most important. How do you know this? Matthew chapter 26. Everybody follow me tonight? Follow me. This is a lot of good stuff here. I mean, it's Peter being used to explain what we need to understand as well. Here in Matthew chapter 26, in verse 6 it says, "Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat." Why? Because she knew him to be the Messiah. "But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste?'" Disciples. Doesn't say which one at this particular time, but I guarantee it had to do with the finances. The one leading in this would have been Judas. "And they said, 'For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.'" That was a speech from Judas. How do you know that? Verse 14. "Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests and said unto them, 'What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you?' And they covenant with him for 30 pieces of silver." Right after, that was the last situation before Judas betrayed Jesus Christ, because walking away from that, he was more concerned about the money when he should have been concerned about being Jesus being the Messiah, being anointed, but he didn't believe him to be the Messiah, and he believed it was a waste of money, and because of that, he went and sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. You see, when you don't really believe that Jesus is the Messiah, when you don't know that he's the Messiah, you are vulnerable for Satan to work in and through you to do some very ungodly things. Wow. Satan blinded Judas until it was too late in Judas's mind. Matthew chapter 27. This adds to and what Peter's going to present concerning Judas's death. Matthew chapter 27, verse 3. "Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself." He seen they was going to crucify Jesus. They really thought they would just slap him on the wrist and let him go because he's a good man. He's not the Messiah, but he's a good man in Judas's mind. But then Judas realized that they're going to crucify him because of Judas selling him out. And he brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders and saying, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." Not the blood of the Messiah, just innocent blood. He hadn't done nothing to deserve to be crucified. And they said, "What is that to us? See thou to that." And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went out and hanged himself. Satan has a way of blinding us until he's gotten what he wanted out of us, and then he reveals it, because many times you'll not be able to live with yourself for what you've done. Can I tell you that Judas, even Judas, could have repented to Christ? He didn't. He repented in himself. Wish he hadn't have done it. It was more than he could handle, and he went out and took his own life. Now go back with me to the book of Acts. Understanding that part of it, Peter now bringing everybody together and had to deal with this issue with Judas. He adds details to the end of Judas's life. He says, now this man, verse 18, purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. And falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. You ever wondered what that meant? We already read where it says that Judas went out and hanged himself. But what Peter is introducing is that he botched his own hanging. He botched his own suicide. And the rope that he would have tied on his neck to swing out over a pit, it burst. And being hanging over a pit, then he fell into the rocks. And the fall into the rocks bursted his body open. And it was so horrendous that everyone there would have remembered that. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem. All the dwellers at Jerusalem would have known that Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And now they would see the results of Judas. If he had just hung himself, I don't know that it would have been that much of a memory. But when they saw what had taken place, it was something that they would never forget. And they named that the Field of Blood. Yeah. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 7, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. So the memory associated with righteousness is blessed, but the memory associated with the wicked is rottenness. Has anybody ever considered naming your son Judas? if you had girls, did you ever think about, should I name her Jezebel? In all my life, I have never known of anybody that had been named Judas or Jezebel. Now, some might have out of just evil orneriness. Who knows? But nobody who thinks of Judas wants to be associated with him. Nobody who knows the name of Jezebel wants to be associated with her. This had that kind of an impact. Peter understood this, and he knew this had to be addressed. And he brought it all out, as only the leader could do, to unite all that were there. Wow. I love that. We're out of time tonight. Verse 20 down to verse 26, Peter leads them forward. He leads them forward. Because once you've addressed something, you can't live there. You address it because it needs to be addressed, but then you have to put it behind you. You cannot allow your past to control your future. Deal with it as it needs to be dealt with, but once you've dealt with it the way it needs to be dealt with, as you have followed after Jesus to deal with it in the right way, then put it behind you. Move on. Don't give Judas any more time than what's necessary. No, that's good. Don't give Judas any more time than what's necessary. Move on and look to what's next. And what's next is fill the void. There was 12 apostles, now there are 11, and so they see this and they said, we cannot live with this void, let's fill the void. And they filled the void by choosing one of two. They chose Matthias. People look at that and they understand the lots, and that's really not the issue here. We don't need to get into that, although throwing lots was something that they did in the Old Testament, but they did not do it after the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, because the indwelling of the Holy Spirit gives them direction. You don't need to cast lots. But that was not the issue anyway. The issue here was they had to fill the void. Peter led them to fill the void. God allowed them to fill the void. But Matthias never was the 12th apostle. Did you get that? The Matthias never was the 12th apostle. God allowed them to choose him to fill the void. And God used him in a way that it would fill the void for them. But they had to look forward to the 12th apostle was Paul. Yeah. Sometimes God allows you certain things to fill the void so that you can get through that time. But that's not in his perfect will. He's letting you get through that time because he has something planned that is better than Matthias. He had Paul, who was Saul, getting ready to be the 12th apostle. Yeah, I love that part. So how do you know that? Because Jesus chooses his apostles. Acts in chapter 9. And just going to go a couple more minutes here just to finish this off here tonight. It's good stuff. Acts chapter 9, verse 6. And trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord Jesus said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou shalt must do. Jesus chose Saul. Saul got saved looking to Jesus. Verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Jesus chose Paul to be the 12th apostle. Paul understood that when he wrote, and it's biblical, it's the word of God that God had Paul to write. And we find here in the book of Galatians in chapter 1. Galatians in chapter 1, let me read it to you. And verse 1. And we're almost done. Just one other verse that Paul wrote. In verse 1, he said, Paul, an apostle. There's 12 apostles. If you look in the book of Revelation, there's 12 tribes of Israel. There's 12 apostles. Paul, an apostle, not of men. Now, Matthias was an apostle of men. God allowed it, but he was not the apostle. Not of men, neither by man. But by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Yeah, then 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says somewhat the same thing, helping them to realize what's going on there. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1, he says this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Peter's presenting that because Peter had been prepared and been trained as he had been following Jesus to now lead. I think you've been prepared and trained more than you realize. If there's not somebody else there that's taking the lead, lead. Lead as God would have you to lead. Can I tell you, praise God for some of these godly women whose husbands will not take the lead and they are not looking to serve God, and they take the lead as they had need to take the lead, not out of desire, but out of necessity. And God will bless them by taking the lead when no one else will. There has to be leadership. Your home has to be led. Your society has to be led. The church has to be led. You're there. You've been trained. You've been following. You know. Take the lead. Represent Christ wherever you're at all times. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Take the lead. I don't know if I'm qualified. You're qualified as long as you've been following. If you've been following, you've been trained and prepared to lead. Take the lead. Father, we bow before you tonight. Thank you for the truth and the life of Peter. And God, all through the 3 years of being discipled, making a lot of the blunders and saying some things and doing things, but praise God as we now find him in the book of Acts, ready to take the lead. And I pray, God, that we would learn from this. We would be helped by this to understand that there has to be leadership. That you, if your will for me to lead, then here am I. Send me. I trust that that would be the mentality of every born-again believer that's following after their Savior. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name. Amen.